You're listening to Go Fish with Mike Buck on AM 690, The Fishing Answer. This segment is being brought to you by the Western Pacific Regional Fishery Management Council at wpcouncil.org.
Yeah,
now, you know, troll on in.
Last week, we forgot to say, but wait, and stay tuned for scenes from our next episode. Last week, we met a couple of folks that helped us out, and we're talking about birds, mostly birds here in Hawaii and birds in New Zealand, seabirds, fish and birds. And when I originally found out that we were going to be doing this, Asuka Ishizawa, who is, as you know, at the council, and as she is the, she's, for me, the person that's always been go-to. And one of the reasons, and when we met years ago, it was as her position to protected species coordinator. And I'm not sure that, and I'm just guessing because we always thought about you as loggerhead turtles and monk seals and all this other stuff. But now we're talking about little fly birdsies. And so that is a pretty big blanket. I want you to reintroduce our guest. And last week we talked about the birds here in the Hawaii fleet and sort of what they eat and what they do. But this week we're going to talk about a program that they're helping us out with that may have ramifications about being able to address problems between boats and birds. So tell us a little bit about this week's show, what we're trying to do.
Yeah, so we'll talk about our Tory Line project. We'll talk more about what that is, that we're working on with the Hawaii Longline Fishery. And we've got two guests here. We've got Hali Naholoa'a, who is our local field coordinator for the project. She's been a former observer and also a bird enthusiast as well. And so she knows a lot about how the birds behave and all of that. And then we also have David Goad from New Zealand, who we brought in as an expert to teach us more about his experience on Tory Lines in the New Zealand fisheries.
A friend of mine, you used to have a boat called Vita Blue, and I noticed in your information here, Vita Maris. What's that?
It's the life of the sea.
Yeah, it's really cool. That being said, we noticed the differences and the similarities. And when I asked Asuka last time what this meant, why we call this the Tory? Why do we call it the Tory?
The Tory,
yeah,
the Tory lines. So yeah, it's a Japanese bird. The Japanese originally came up with Tory lines to. Yeah. Keep more bait on their hooks.
I had a friend that had tattooed Notori on his shoulder. He was a skipper, and he swore that he could see the same bird sometimes, and that the bird led him to fish. I mean, fishermen, it's not just anecdotal, is it? We have this fascination and this affinity to the bird, so it's hard to see him getting hurt.
Yeah. They always say it's an albatross is a lost sailor in England.
Like having an albatross around your neck, you know. but I still think that even though Asuka, we need to make sure that we always try to have fun on the show. That's part of what we do. But this is pretty serious. And what prompted this? What's the reason why we're all together trying to mitigate harm to these birds?
Yeah, so I think a lot of folks will know that the longline fishery has been required to use bird mitigation measures for years and years now, since 2001 at the earliest. So
give me a couple of examples.
Yeah, so blue dye bait is one of them. So dyeing the bait blue, putting weights on branch lines so that they sink faster, and then side setting so that the birds don't fly into the boats as much as the baits sinking down. And so those have been in place, and they have been tremendously successful in reducing the interactions. When they first were put in place, we had about a 90% reduction.
That was very successful.
But over time, we have seen an uptick, especially in the black-footed albatross interactions in the tuna fishery, the tuna component of the longline fishery. So we started looking into what's going on, better understanding why some of that increase might be happening, and we think part of it may be that there's more birds around the boats. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily that the population's increasing, but that the overlap is becoming greater where the fishery is fishing and where the birds are.
Well, let me tell you this. I mean, we are all creatures of habit. And I'm imagining that a bird is even more so. If I know there's food over there at noon, guess where I'm going to be at noon, right? So that's why if I see, and I think in last week, David, you and I talked about maybe how far these birds can see. It's quite a ways. And so if they're sort of flying around their area and they see that blue boat from a couple of weeks ago, they're likely to fly over, aren't they?
Yeah, for sure.
It's food at the end of this flight.
It's a pretty featureless ocean out there. If you're up there as a bird flying around, I guess you're gonna see and smell Tanabites.
And you know, another thing, Holly, that Asuka mentioned a while ago, and that is blue dye. Mm-hmm. When you first started, was there use of blue dye then, or yes. Is it more recent?
No.
What is the blue dye about? What does it do?
The blue dye basically gives the bait a really blue tinge, mm-hmm. Which is supposed to deter the birds from actually seeing the bait.
I was going
to
say, because once it goes in the water, we got blue water, blue bait. This is pretty good.
Yeah.
But you know, my question is, the fisherman would be, then how does the fish see it? I mean, you know, it's kind of an interesting story.
Well, actually, the blue dye will come off the bait in the water.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
So how does it get on? Does it dip on?
Yeah, the fishermen
marinate them.
Yeah, they marinate the bait.
Yeah.
So they let it thaw a little, so you're not dyeing the ice blue.
Okay.
And then they dip it in this gallon bucket of blue dye.
Yeah, it's a lot of work, isn't it? And maybe both of you could reflect on this, because even though, David, you mentioned that last time that in New Zealand, a lot of your boats are night setting. So, you know, you can't see a lot of the stuff that's going on, maybe. And that's why. Did it start that? Did they go to night fishing because of birds?
Night fishing works quite well for our bluefin fishery in the winter, because we've got a lot longer nights than you guys will have in your winter.
I should say, yeah.
But I think certainly in our summer fishery, the motivation for night setting was to reduce.
Are they also using the nights, the glow sticks?
Not so much for tuna. For our swordfish fishery,
it's still one of the choice. Okay, so what change did you notice, or what got you interested in studying this as to how we can maybe not eliminate, but certainly reduce the mortality? Tell me about the project, in other words.
So internationally, and to some extent in New Zealand, but particularly internationally, there have been a lot of work on tory lines for high seas vessels and large bottom line vessels.
Mm-hmm. How do they work? What is it? What does it look like?
So these vessels would have a pole at the back of the boat, mm-hmm. and then essentially just a piece of rope with a set of streamers off that pole.
Okay.
And that's roughly over the baited hooks. And that essentially makes the birds very wary of flying in that area. Yeah. And it disrupts their flight patterns behind the back of the boat, hopefully of enough of a distraction to stop them being able to find the time to maneuver around a tory line and find a bait.
You know, Asuka, how did we find out about this system? And then, you know, when you talk about doing this project and doing these things, it costs a lot of money to do that. So what kind of costs are involved, and what sort of a timeline is this project working on?
Yeah, well, funny enough, when the fishery first started looking for seabird measures back in the late 90s, this was one of the things that was tested.
Mm-hmm.
And it did have some good results, but at the same time, there's a lot of concern about safety and the tory line tangling with the actual long line main line, thing. And so it ended up not getting into the requirements then. Over the last few years, we started taking another look at the mitigation measures in our fishery, and we did a workshop last year and looked at what other measures are out there that's worth trying in our fishery.
Of course,
and the tory line came up because we had a longline fisherman who participated in our meeting last year and said, hey, you know, I've been dragging something behind my boat ever since people said that tory lines don't work in this fishery.
Yeah.
And I think it works fine. And there's some other guys doing some similar stuff too. And so we realized it was, they were trying different things and they had some interest in trying some tory line type things. And one of the interests for them too, a motivation for them too, is that, you know, the blue-dyed bait, sometimes they think that they don't work as well anymore. And it's also an extra step, right? Every time an extra step. It's messy, it gets all over their boat. And so if there's a way to provide an alternative to that, or better measures, a better suite of measures that a fisherman can pick and choose from, then we want to be able to improve that.
Okay.
That's really interesting.
That's what I thought. And Holly, maybe the same thing, good question would be that, you know, you've had this opportunity to be this observer for so long, but you know, And there are some guys that drag stuff anyway, just because. And yet, one of the things Asuka said that they're worried about is sometimes getting tangled in the main line. Mm-hmm. Have you seen that? And is that a disaster? What do you have to do to mitigate? What do you have to just cut it, or what do you do?
Usually it rips from the boat. Mm-hmm. If the float gets snagged on, say, a torpedo float that's holding down the tow buoy, which is just an official, shorter, more MacGyver version of a Tory line. The knot usually
I thought you would have been
out.
Too young to know about the MacGyver thing. Are you talking about the new MacGyver or the old MacGyver?
Probably the new one. Okay.
Because I don't think you were born during the old one. I know I was. Anyway, to my friend Peter Lenkoff, the executive producer of Hawaii Five-O and Magnum and MacGyver. See, you were right. And we're talking about MacGyverisms or
yes, MacGyverisms.
So some fishermen took it upon themselves.
Yes.
And not necessarily to be good guys, but to really, because they felt that, hey, we got to do something. Plus, it's disruptive, isn't it?
Yeah, the birds going after the hooks or, you know, having a lot of birds when you're setting is a little disruptive to the fishermen. And so they do put those tow buoys out there. Mm. And a lot of their ideas are very ingenious and they work. And so some captains told me that they let out mono, you know, from the back of their vessel. And they tie maybe like a float or a piece of clothes to just hold it down.
Yeah.
But because that drag section is so small, you know, a float, it's not very long. It'll like bounce around in the water and make the line bounce.
Yeah. And by the way, gang, this has happened. All of you small boat trollers, you know, you go around the corner too quickly, you tangle, boom, you got a nightmare and you got a mess. But when you're dealing with the baits and everything else and over that big set, it could be a financial disaster too, right? If you get hooked up in this, because you got to stop what you're doing, or something's got to stop.
Yeah. So David Goad made his Tory lines to actually just break away with the gears, so they can go on setting without having to deal with this big tangle.
Gotcha. Now, David, please explain that, because I'm guessing that when that happens and you do have your Tory line break away, that you're going to retrieve it. Is it going to come back in?
Yeah. So usually if it tangles pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
But the way I've set up the Tory lines I've put on boats is so if you get a tangle, it breaks away from the pole it's towed from and ends up attached at the shooting station. Whoever's shooting the gear can just clip it on the long line, chop it off from the boat, and then it's all gone.
On the retrieve?
This is, that's during the set, then they'll get it back when they retrieve.
And Asuka, I guess the thing is, it's kind of neat to have David here, because we can not only learn about that, but learn about at some point down the line, David, is it going to be just you send in for it and here's your 20 line, here's everything you need.
From my experience in New Zealand, so a lot of the work I've done is sort of translating the big boat stuff.
Mm-hmm.
To sort of simplifying it and making it work on
in the small on, that's on where we're getting at
small
right?
vessel yeah. fleet in
now,
New Zealand.
By the way, when we're talking about your small vessels and ours, what are the similarities and differences? For instance, our long line fleet are basically under 85 feet or about that.
No larger than 101.
Yeah, right, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so some of those are large. What they seemingly large, but what about the boats that you're talking about?
Yeah, 40 to 80 feet.
Yeah, a lot shorter.
In New Zealand, 60 footers is pretty much the norm.
Now, like our fishery, or unlike our fishery, how long are your boats out? Because I do know that the fish are closer in many respects, that maybe they're not out as long.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And our guys, it's not a big fleet, but they're pretty good at talking to each other.
Yeah.
So usually they'll have a day's steam and be shooting after a day, and then six or seven shots, probably maximum of eight. If the fishing's really good, it might only be three.
Holly's shaking her head up and down. I wish I was back in the day on that one, right?
Yeah.
You got on more trips and quicker back in. But there are more similarities and differences, right, as far as what you're doing. Asuka, when you were talking about before, this 20 line is great, but we'd already done some things with the hooks and with some other things, like what?
So for the birds, are the blue dye, the side set, you know, those things. And then we also, the shallow set, the swordfish targeting shallow set fleet here also does night setting as well. Mm-hmm. So that's also something that this fishery does. But really what we're, you know, trying to do here is kind of like what, you know, Dave did in New Zealand, adopting what's out there to what works for the fleet. So, you know, just because somebody else is using a certain tory line doesn't mean that we can just take that design and just deploy it on our fleet. Every boat is different. You know, in our fishery, what's really unique is we have boats, hodgepodge vessels that came in from different fisheries and converted. We also had an expert coming from Japan for this project this week. And, you know, they have pretty much consistent boats. And so they can have one design and they can be pretty confident that's going to work for most fishermen. But that's different here. So we're really trying to adapt it and look for the practicality side, safety side, so that when it time comes to say, okay, you can use this as a viable option, we have some guidelines set up. That's what really
and you know what, gang, this is a very important part, because you can go to wpcouncil.org and learn some more about this. But and I'm assuming that when you're talking about that, it's because as the sword fishery was shutting down on the eastern seaboard, a lot of these boats that found their way into Hawaii or into the Pacific, they weren't set up for fishing the way our boats are for. So that must mean that, Holly, in your days, that you worked on both. Some of the boats that they brought over here and converted into a longline boat from a, you know.
From a shrimp trawler.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So big differences, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Big differences. We've got fishing vessels with outriggers.
Yeah.
We've got fishing vessels that have high bows.
Yeah.
And that have really small decks. But most of our fishing vessels now are the converted shrimp trawlers from Louisiana.
Yeah, and they're just coming in by the millions. They're all over.
Oh, yeah, they're all over.
And by the way, this is it must be interesting for you, David, because we really are, as far as the fleet itself is concerned, a small fleet in Hawaii. You know, but yet where you come from, it's equally, specifically as small in that area, right?
Yeah, we've only got about 40 tuna boats.
Yeah.
In New Zealand, and some of those are not long lining year round.
Is most of the catch caught from those boats consumed in New Zealand?
No.
Yeah, interesting. No.
So we've got quite a big bluefin fishery in New Zealand.
Yeah, of course.
And Kiwis are not adventurous enough.
Yeah,
probably.
Yeah.
Bluefin's pretty strong.
Mm-hmm.
And the market is such that I'd say 95% of that goes on a plane.
Yeah,
Japan.
Yeah, and to waiting arms, I might admit, right?
Mm.
Yeah, because of the quality. It's sort of interesting, though, Asuka. We are fiercely proud of our fishery and the quality of our fish, even when they're on long trips. I mean, it seems like in a perfect world, what do we expect here? What do we want to finish up today with by saying how long is this 20 line experiment taking, and what are we expecting is going to be next?
Yeah, so this fall and next spring, we'll actually be working with the longline vessels here, trying out different deployments of these tory lines and different designs, the pole attachment, all of that fun stuff. In the spring, we'll actually do data collection to look at the practicality and the if they're actually working or not. Following that, by next year, this time of the year, by the end of the summer next year, we're hoping to have a report out and to be able to take that back to the council, have some more discussion with the industry, and see if we can use that as a viable way forward for an option for the mitigation measures.
Well, I can tell you, gang, I hope that you've learned a little bit about this. If you want to know more, you know what to do. You go to wpcouncil.org, wpcouncil.org. So on behalf of Asuka Ishizaki, my pal from the council, we want to say thanks also to Ahali Naholawa and David Gold. And wish you a good time. If you want to hear something on the show, you know what to do. Drop me a line, themikebuckshow@gmail.com. themikebuckshow@gmail.com. Or easier yet, I'll go to wpcouncil.org. That's wpcouncil.org. See you next time. Have a great weekend.